Osiris.
What's up? This is Ryan Stasek from Humphreys McGee. This podcast is part of the Osiris podcast family. Osiris is a growing community of music and culture podcasts, connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Osiris works in partnership with Relix Magazine. Osiris.
Friends, welcome to the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is a quick hit for October 27th, 2018 at the Allstate Arena in Chicago, night two of a three-night stand. We've got Jason on the line here who was at the show last night. Hey, Jason, how's it going?
Going good. Early morning on Sunday after a late-night show, but feeling good.
Excellent. Good, so. Now, are you? Is Chicago home for you, or did you travel for the shows?
No, kind of did. Me and my wife and we just have a three-week-old baby. Decided to make the move from out of the city early in June. We lived in a neighborhood called Logan Square, kind of on the north side, and moved out to a town called New Lenox, kind of in the south suburbs. Currently on a horse farm, looking at a big old black and white horse and a big barn, so kind of a different change. But yeah, we're about an hour away from Allstate, so in the Chicagoland area, but yeah, out of the city now, though.
That's awesome, and congratulations on the baby. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, we'll get into it more, but I had a pretty significant experience last night at the show during the song Joy.
Oh, awesome.
Talking to some guys I rode with, two brothers, a guy named Sean Murphy and a guy named Ryan Murphy. New guys I've never been to a show with, and that's the best part about Fish, is like that connection. But talking about, you know, how Wharf Rat will make you cry, but maybe some Fish lyrics won't. And get to hear Joy at a show and the 3 week old baby girl at home, and you know, it's bringing tears to my eyes now.
That's
who knew, right?
That's
knew?
Awesome, and thanks to your wife for letting you out of the house with a three week old. I know that's tough sometimes.
Yeah, she's a trooper, and she hates Fish, so even, you know, so
even better.
She's very adamant. She's even adamant, like making sure that my son Porter, that he does not get an opportunity to hear any Fish, but you know, when he starts seeing contact with the backseat, you know, I kind of tell him to, you know, hush a little bit. So.
That's fun. Great. So, were you going to all three this weekend or just last night?
No, just last night. Yeah, she's a willing, you know, participant of letting me out to play a little bit, but all three nights wouldn't have been possible. And plus, I'm 42, and I was talking with the guys I went with. Man, you know, I remember doing like 97, 98 runs all summer and just like having the energy. Like I would love to go back tonight, but I just don't have that energy to be, because I like to be up close and then GA on the floor. It's just one night's enough for me nowadays.
Gotcha.
A lot. Yeah. I love it, but it is a lot. So.
Yeah. Physically it starts to take a toll on you. As you get into your late 30s and 40s, we were talking about that at Hampton last week. It's like a miracle just to make it to that third night.
Yeah, God bless you guys that can do it. But yeah, we were talking about, I remember summer 98 tour, summer tour, how hot it was. And being at Deer Creek, we had the opportunity to, I was working at a brewery at the time, to go backstage and take some beer backstage and hang out before, during, after the show, and then going back to camp and just like, the sun beating down on you like 8 or 9 a.m. And it was just like, you got to get up no matter how late you stayed up.
Yep.
You got to get up. And it's just like, we did it and didn't think twice about it. Today, it ain't happening. No way.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into it. Had you seen them at the Allstate Arena before?
95 for the Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that was my fourth or fifth show at the time. Yeah. I hadn't seen them there since though. So
it's been a while. So what do you think about that venue? I've heard mixed kind of reviews on it. Like maybe it's kind of a cool place, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. What's your experience like?
It is a cool place. It's so small. I mean, my first show was at 10/21/95 in Pershing Auditorium, which was pretty teeny. I think it only held like 6,500 people. So this reminded me of like those fall tours, college tours they did like in 94, 95, 96 of smaller arenas, but it is kind of the middle of like, it's near O'Hare, kind of the Rosemont. It's a whole area of restaurants and just kind of weird stuff. And it's, I mean, outside they're really cool. It's Chicago, so you're probably going to be able to kind of get away with more than you would in other places. But as far as the venue itself, I I'll take it. It was the energy was cracking, and everybody there was super cool, and it was it sounded really good. So it is in a weird spot, but the venue itself was I would take it, you know, over a lot of other places I've seen. So
yeah, that's great. So let's talk about the music. First set, they open up with Stash, which is not a real frequent opener. Then we get the Dogs into Blaze On, Water in the Sky, Yamar, Vultures into Roses, 46 Days and Bowie. So what did you think of that first set? Anything stand out to you?
Man, well, first thing I thought, I looked over at a couple of guys next one. I was like, are we still in the first set? It's so much different than what it used to be. I mean, I don't think Fish ever sandbagged first sets, but, you know, they're coming out swinging, and they came out swinging. Stash was good. You could tell they were kind of trying to get in the, you know, the feel of what's going on. Trey and Paige, and they all just looked, you know, you're going to get stoic Mike, but Trey just the whole night just looked like he was as ecstatic to be there as we were. So was Paige and Fishman. The Stash was great, you know, surprise opener, obviously. The Dogs, the whole room was barking, like, you know, like it was pretty cool to hear by, you know, howling and barking, the Chompers, right? But then that blaze on, I mean, that's where it just like next level kicked in. And they're doing this texture stuff. And I was emailing RJ about it. Like, something's coming. The whole night it made me think, like, what's coming for Halloween? You know, because I keep hearing these textures and the incredibly, like, not improved vocals, but you can tell they're working on their harmonies and their vocals. They're all singing with projection. And then you keep hearing, I was talking to my friend Ryan, we listened to Mike's jam from Ascend, and I just keep hearing, like, these Dwayne Allman, like, major, you know, major key riffs and fills and these runs. I'm like, I just kept thinking last night, what's coming? You know, you kept hearing that, but then you'd hear the Dark and Down kind of stuff where they would do the layered texturing and Trey would kind of step back. So, but that Blaze On was just fire. I was just listening to it right before you called. It was fire.
Yeah. And you know, you've got Stash, the Dogs and Blaze On. I mean, not often that in the first, you know, 35 minutes or so of the show, you only get three songs. They definitely came out swinging on that. And I agree with some of the textures, you know, that they're doing in the jams. We talked about that, at our event at Hampton last week that we did for Couch Report. A lot of feedback, you know, coming through. It's different than, you know, like over the summer when Trey was using those loops and stuff to create texture. This is real, just like raw feedback guitar energy. Yeah. So
it almost seems like it's very intentional. Like there's, I don't know if it's a level of practicing something, but there's a level of I'm thinking just my experience of kind of being a musician of like, you tend to emulate to a certain extent, whether you do it, you know, a lot, you know, in the front of your mind or the back of your mind, whatever you're practicing.
Right.
It just comes out through who you are. It's going to happen. And it's like, I kept thinking the whole night, what's coming?
Yeah.
And it's amazing to watch Trey step back, like, you know, and just be a very selfless musician and let everybody else just kind of build it up around him and not, you know, I saw him at the Chicago Theater, you know, in the spring, and he still got it. For people out there that say that Trey's, you know, lost a step, you know, go watch the trio and listen to that. Like, he just still can bring it hard. But, you know, I think he intentionally, he's a part of a band and it's different, you know, so.
Yeah, you know, he's done that throughout the band's history, you know, different sort of distraction techniques to keep himself occupied and create space. Yeah. And the feedback is definitely a kind of a new thing that he's been doing in that same vein. So anything else in the first set? I mean, how about that Bowie? I actually was couch touring and I had to miss the Bowie because I had to drive from my friend's house back to my house in time for the second set. So I sacrificed Bowie.
Yeah. Bowie was great once they got through the composed parts. And it's like, you know, I've kind of learned that, you know, there's a statement that I always take into Fish shows. Like, if you aren't happy with what you have, you'll never be happy with what you get. So if I'm sitting there trying to compare any Bowie or any song I hear tonight to what I've heard like in 95, 96 or any other shows, it's just, I'm going to be let down because it's just two different musicians and two different time frames. But once they got through that, it was great. It's always great to hear a Bowie, but that 46 days before it was rock star. And then that Roses Are Free. I thought the roof was going to blow off the place. I mean, everybody was singing along. Trey was jumping up and down. It was just like, You know, I never had like a 4-minute sing along in a Phish show, or just like just the vocals of everybody in the crowd. It was insane. That everybody was jumping up and down during that Rose. It was awesome.
Yeah, we could tell from the couch. It was during Trey's solo, they kind of panned out over the crowd, and you could just see people really losing their shit. So that was
It was cool.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah. So as we look at set two, I caught something in the opener, the MoMA dance, I was wondering is what you were saying earlier about when you're practicing something, it kind of comes out and you're playing. Trey was doing a lot of trilling, and I've kind of caught that at a couple other points in the tour, and I'm wondering if that's a clue based on something that he's been practicing. I don't know if you caught that when they were playing that last night.
I did. I caught the trilling. You could hear the little pull-offs, the hammer on a pull-off trilling. But another thing I noticed, too, and if you go back and listen to it, a lot of single note kind of bending the note up and, like just staying on that one note, bending it over and over and, like, causing, like, that tension and everybody, like amping the crowd up on that one, like, one or two bent notes. And it's, I think a lot of people are thinking, like, that My Bloody Valentine, like that's, we all know that's an album Trey just kind of loves the textured landscape of that. And it's like, who knows what's coming? I look back at my buddies and I was like, it's either going to be something like that or it's going to be Allman Brothers. I keep hearing, just so much different things. Like, it's literally all I thought of the whole night. Like, whoever's going, I feel so happy for the people that are going to Vegas because I just think it's going to be something.
Yeah, there's
something so special, so special.
Yeah, there's a lot of different thoughts out there this year. It's difficult to kind of pin it down. I was wondering if the trilling maybe pointed towards Hendrix a little bit. But that just always seems to be in play with when it's Trey, right? Because it's this hero.
Yeah, and then I heard, I heard some. I don't know. Maybe it's me being a part of. I was like, my first show, they did a couple of Michael Jackson teases, and it was right before Halloween '95. It's like, maybe my subconscious trying to hear more Michael Jackson teases again. I don't know. So all those people going to Vegas, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
They're going to have a blast.
So then, we get through the rest of the second set into that No Men in No Man's Land, almost 26 minutes long. That was, obviously the jam of the night, probably one of the best jams of the tour, I think. Just kept going.
It just built and built and built and took on different layers. And it's just, how can you? And I was just thinking about that. It's like, you're sitting there. We were by 7 or 8 rows back, got there early. And I was like, this is so much, I know we've all seen the evolution and like the pushing forward and pulling back of Phish. But just like for me, to see that, to let it kind of all build organically instead of just trying to push the jam and like trying to, the whole, I used to love it, the let's build the tension and release it and really heavy guitar driven. But to watch it, to watch John Fishman, how the hell that guy, I don't know. He's a freak of nature. How he keeps getting better is amazing. And we watched him the whole night during the Fuego, like that part where they break it down. Just like he's amazing. And then Paige and then Mike, they're all stepped up. So much. No, I wouldn't say they're better musicians, but I just think they're more confident musicians now. And watching that No Man's, jam build, it was fun. But once again, you look around and you go, they started out in the key of that song, and by the time they're over, they're writing like G, so they can go straight into Steam, the G minor. I was like,
yeah.
And we were all just like, what? Is this still No Man's?
So I saw a lot of opinions about the second half of the second set that maybe things lost a little steam after, no pun intended, steam. It sounds like you had a different experience with the Joy that you were talking about earlier. Yeah. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I've tried to pay attention to, because I've been a musician, on and off since I was a kid, maybe late teens, and I always tell people I got paid to play, whether they paid me to play or not to play, and I always, I always go come from this perspective of it is a lot of fun sometimes to sing songs you love to play, to sing songs. And I think sometimes you watch Trey sing Chalk Dust or get into Fuego or Joy. I mean, for him, sitting up there singing a song like Joy, which has a lot of meaning, a lot of depth for him, is like, it's got to feel really good to sing a song like that. I know it's about his daughters and his sister. And, so on the way to the show, Ryan and Sean, the guys I rode with, we're talking about, you know, we're all, you know, Fish is right there. My favorite band of all time. I actually saw the Dead before I saw Fish, but I heard Fish before I heard the Dead. It was kind of a weird thing, but we're talking about how, you know, the Dead have, to me, the greatest Americana songs ever. You know, How Can You Beat a Wharf Rat and you know, Dire Wolf, all these great songs that, you know, will make you cry, literally. It's like, you know, I've had goosebumps and teared up moments from a Fish jam for sure. But I've never had a lyric, you know, drop me to my knees and, like, you know, get me choked up. But then last night, right, in Joy, it's like, you know, it's about his daughter, and I have a three-year-old son and a beautiful baby girl. I'm just so blessed, and from where my life has come, where it is today. And it's like, I'm getting, like, choked up. I'm like, oh, be careful what you talk about before you walk into a Fish show, because, you know, it might change your world. And I'm like, for me, it was very personal, and it struck me right, you know, right in the feel-goods. And that was the highlight of the night for me, just because being a family man. I know all these guys are family men too. And, like, you know, my first show and everybody else's back in the day, they were kids just like us, maybe a little bit, you know, 9 or 10 years older. But when you're a kid, you can do things and your energy is different and life means something different. But once you're a father and once life progresses, it's like, you know, they're all dads and they all are lovely family men. And I just caught that part and had that moment, like, this is really cool. This is the new way I want to enjoy Fish. So
that's awesome. You know, I think as the band has evolved, you know, they all have kids now. A lot of us have kids. Yeah. We have different emotions in our life, different feelings. We're also, you know, we're lucky to get out and see these shows. We can't just, you know, drop everything and get in the car and travel around the country for a couple of weeks anymore. It's a lot of work just to, you know, to be able to get out, make sure you got childcare, make sure that, you know, if your spouse isn't into the whole thing, that you've taken care of that. I hear you. And I think, you know, a lot of people that are in the slightly older demographic of the fan base kind of get that and the new emotions. Yeah. So that's awesome. So they kind of kept things off, with a really great Susie Greenberg, little bit of a jam there, and then Rock and Roll at the end, possibly a nod to Lou Reed there, who died 5 years ago yesterday.
Right,
So in general, I mean, what was kind of your overall take from the show? I mean, where do you think it fits kind of in terms of the whole fall tour?
I think it's up there. You know, it's hard because, you know, nowadays, we're just kind of hinging in on moments, maybe not whole shows. So I always look at it from the perspective, did everybody around me, were they having fun, you know? And they were. Like, the whole place was just partying and having a great time. And it was just, saw some older guys. I'd seen it, like, looking around. I don't even know the guys' names. Like, I remember seeing you at, like, you know, up front at 96 Halloween and seeing the same people on the front row that were on the front row at Alpine. And, like, it was a great time. And I'm not a jaded vet. I don't want to compare apples to oranges and say this and that. It's just, we're blessed to be seeing Fish, you know, at the stage of their career. It could be a whole different story right now with the things that happened back in the day. So I always just consider this the, you know, we're all living in the bonus round of Fish, and for them to keep pushing forward and doing what they're doing, you know, God bless them. And I'm just glad, like you said, I'm glad I was able to be a part of, you know, being able to go to shows a lot in the 90s and experiencing stuff now that people look back and say, hey, remember, you know, they only got to hear it. They weren't at, like, Nutter Center 97 or at Big Cypress. And it's like, in the moment, we were just there and it wasn't that big of a deal. But looking back, it's like, just a lot of gratitude for where life was, where it's at now. And I still get to go see Fish, and I'm 42, and hopefully I can do it when I'm 62.
That's a great outlook. And I hope so too. And you're probably like me. I can't wait to, for the day when we get to take our kids and pass it on to the next generation too. I hope they keep it going long.
We're going to be lucky. For me, I'm going to have to convince my wife that we're going to go see a boy sneak over. She gives me a lot of crap about it, but I'm blessed to have her in my life, and she's real supportive, but she's always going to give me a little jab there, so it's all good.
There you go. So I think I know what you're going to say here, but if we were to share a little clip of a jam from last night for the folks listening, what do you think we should cover?
You know what? Right before you called, I was listening to, I got it right here. It's probably right around the 9.5 minute mark, probably that Blaze On.
Okay.
You know, maybe that on or anything from that No Man's, but that Blaze On is just, yeah, maybe it's like the 9:30 on. Just that really just kicks in the gear there and just takes it away. So if you could play that, that'd be great.
All right.
We'll
do that.
This has been an honor, man. This is really cool.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking time. I know we both have family stuff going on here, so best of luck with the little one, and enjoy your rest of the day, and enjoy the rest of the tour if you're following along. For the listeners, we've got another quick hit coming tomorrow for the last night in Chicago, and then we'll be doing a couch report again on Thursday from Vegas. That's going to be, I believe, RJ and myself and some other special guests. So looking forward to that. If you're going to Vegas, we will be there the first two nights, so look for us. Hopefully we'll have some stickers and stuff like that. Look forward to seeing people. Otherwise, have a great Sunday or whenever you're listening to this, and enjoy a little bit of Blaze On from last night.